We Talk Podcast presents...
What it is, what it do, welcome to the One Fall Podcast with your host, Joshua
Attic,
William Arbuthnot, with the ultimate baby face. We back, it's Joel Johnson.
How's it going?
We back.
We are.
We had a little bit of personal issues last week, but we are back to handle the world of professional wrestling. Got 2 weeks worth of things, and Joel... As the women are dominating the Olympics, I think it's only fitting to start out with some women in the world of professional wrestling to start this podcast off.
Yeah, I think that's fair. You seem to be kind of more the guide for today's podcast, so I shall follow you wholeheartedly and give you my thoughts and take on things.
Look, for sure we're going to get to CWC, because to me right now, that is far and away the best product of wrestling on television.
Agreed. 100%.
And we'll get to that in detail, but I just need... We need to talk about Eva Marie.
Eva Marie.
Because she's turning people's heads and making people be like, you know what? I don't hate her.
You know what? People hate her, but it's because of her character. And that's key. She's generating genuine, real-life heel heat, and that's something you want. And she's doing it with her little... Oh, my foot, my ankle, my knee. Oh, wardrobe malfunction. And then her little promos, the way she's doing it, everything's clicky. The in-ring stuff, I don't know if that will ever fully click for her.
Probably not. But the best part about this is that none of us really want to see her wrestle. Not even me.
No.
We don't want to see her wrestle. She's shit at wrestling. She's actually got a little bit better at the promo. I thought this promo this week was actually her best work. Not saying much, but better work by her. But... What they're doing is, they're making you want to see Eva Marie wrestle.
Well, they're making you want to, because ultimately when she steps in the ring, I think she's going to get beat up. And that's where someone like a Nia Jax or a Dana Brooke type character comes in for her. Because I think that's what it'll be shown that she needs that help because of just who she is. But I'll read everything, it's working.
So what I would do next week is, you know how... Becky goes on the outside, she kind of gives her goggles like Bret Hart.
Yeah.
I would have someone attack Becky, count out victory for Eva Marie.
Ooh. And that just generates more hatred, because people generally like Becky Lynch. So
yeah.
The more she gets screwed around with, more people like her and want to see her succeed. So.
And then you have a situation where Eva can be like, look, I wanted to compete, but I beat you. Kind of remember The Miz?
Yeah.
When he had that going, he's like, I beat John Cena on this and this, and Jericho with Goldberg. You do that with Eva. Becky's not as big as Goldberg or Cena, but you can go like Eva Marie, 1-0, Eva Marie, 2-0 against Becky Lynch. So when Becky finally gets her hands and gives her that suplex, which I think Eva can take a suplex. Eva's actually not terrible at selling. She's okay. She's like the Asuka match. She sold pretty good. But if she can just take the Bexploder suplex, that's worth everything. If she can just take that correctly, that's worth everything. And you give all this stuff to Becky.
Well, you have two options, because either you really run, and push Becky to the moon with this.
Mm-hmm.
Or you put the title on Eva Marie.
I would put the title on Eva Marie.
And just...
I hear people cringing across the world, but I think that's the right choice for the heat.
Yeah, and you would generate a megaton heat. Like, there is, we talk about little heat, just little itty bitty heat. This would be like, I can't, this is like Vicky Guerrero heat. This would be X-Pac go away heat. That
exactly, heat. And you build this up with Eva, and you build this up with Eva. She's getting out of it, and then guess who debuts in SmackDown to take the belt away from her, Joel?
Does she like hugs?
She likes hugs.
Yay, yes, that would be the perfect person, because that's the polar opposite.
Exactly, it's the polar opposite. It's this girl that's love wrestling. She's not the supermodel And she comes and she takes the title away from Eva. This Eva thing is a one-trick pony, you know? Oh, yeah. Once this act is done, it's pretty much it for Eva Marie. And she can still do the calendars and everything, but as far as for her in the main roster, this is it. This is the gimmick that she's going to get, and they just need to run with it.
Yeah, and it does have a shelf life to it, because mm-hmm. you can only have this go for so long before either people lose interest or just kind of go, meh, meh. Once she takes a loss, then things kind of fall out from there. But even if she takes a loss, you can still grow that character a bit. So
yeah, it depends if she takes a loss too, right? Yeah. It's just, you watch SmackDown right now. We're going to get into something that the company is trying to do with them that they realize some draft errors, which we'll get to in a bit. But they have maybe the best character right now next to AJ and Dolph as far as progression.
Yeah.
Is Eva. Like, honestly, when I turned into SmackDown, I knew there was no AJ this week. I was looking forward to Eva Marie more than the main event stuff, to be completely honest, because it's like, how is she going to get out of this? And you were talking about someone to put next to her? Why the hell would you not put Kane with her?
Nah, I don't
see. Big Red Machine, all red, everything.
Would that be the ultimate fall for Kane? I don't know. I would much rather prefer a woman.
I would prefer a woman too, but I could see them being like, yeah, you know?
Yeah, I don't like it. I wouldn't go with it, but WWE has done some weird things, so
yeah, but more or less, I think both of us are very happy with where we are right now with Eva Marie.
Yeah, I definitely think I can agree to that.
I would agree right now that, with exception of that first Raw from the new era of the draft, I've enjoyed the women's stuff on SmackDown more than the women's stuff on Raw, because at least it's been multi-woman segments. On Raw, it's been Sasha and Charlotte.
Yeah.
And really, since the Sasha win, it's been pretty weak, and that goes to the terrible botch slap this week.
Yeah.
I don't know whose problem that was, and I don't want to say it, but I think that was Sasha's fault.
Yeah, I think it's going to be very interesting, because there is definitely, now we've had that moment, what's the next step? Because the one thing I've always heard was the chase is always better than actually achieving whatever.
Exactly, yeah.
And now she's already achieved it. Now it's kind of feels like we're just kind of cruising along until we eventually get to that Bayley-Sasha match that has been rumored for months and months and months.
And this is what we're talking about with Eva, the chase for whoever gets Eva, right? We have all these people that can chase Eva. For Charlotte, for Sasha, we presume she's going to be Charlotte. And then after this, what's going to happen? Because Paige is injured, I believe. So she has some neck damage. We don't know when she's going to be coming back. So you can't really go to the Paige match. So what's after this? You're not going to do Dana Brooke, I don't think. So who's next down the pike with Charlotte?
It's hard to tell. Like, Dana Brooke would probably be the next one.
Yeah.
Hunter's high on him, but I've heard that Vince is a little questionable of her.
Right.
Because he hasn't seen anything that blows his hair back. Mm-hmm. So he's been questioning Hunter on why she was called up.
Yeah, makes sense. We both were as well.
Yeah, we're both kind of like, this is a little odd, but hey. You know, at the time it made sense because she was with Emma.
Yeah.
And that kind of was, okay, yeah, take that gimmick.
Is that someone that's going to be back soon?
I don't know.
Emma could be someone maybe that you could feud with Sasha.
Yeah, ultimately it's that build to the Bayley match.
Yeah, and I think, though, the more I'm hearing just from the Court Bowers, the John Pollocks, the Melters on various subjects, not that they have any inside information, but it's sounding more and more like Bayley would be a SmackDown competitor. Just to add to that women's division. Like, look, we love Eva, but they need that sellified star there. And I think Becky's very good, but I don't think Becky is at the level that Bayley and Sasha are for carrying a division.
Yeah. And not only that, but I think that Bayley's your next John Cena.
Yeah.
Male John Cena. So yeah. You might as well give her her own little place to stand, and you keep her and Sasha away, so when they do finally touch again, and they do have a match, it's a bigger deal. And it's like, holy crap, it's happening. It's here. Let's see what happens. The excitement for it will grow. So
I even think, Joel, that you keep Bayley away from Sasha for a year or so, which is why I put her on SmackDown. I think the next big match for Sasha for a call-up is Asuka. And that's what you build up, I think, for maybe WrestleMania is Asuka and Sasha.
Yeah. This means you're going to have two women matches next year. That won't be a tag team match.
Is the big Bayley match her? Like, I don't want the big Bayley match to be her and Eva, but is that maybe what you're building up to is WrestleMania with Eva and Bayley?
I think it would be smart. If you're going to invest the time in this character and people are going to generally hate it and you want a heel reaction, you're going to get that at WrestleMania. So why not?
You know what? I actually know who I would help Eva Marie. You're right. King was not a smart idea. I can hook up to that. What about Maryse? Both total divas.
Yeah. It sucks that Nia's on Raw.
I know. I agree. Nia went to the wrong brand because that was the perfect act in NXT with the two of them. She would clean up her work, and you don't really have any women right now that are kind of that henchman.
Yeah, no.
That you can have. Like Dana and just as far as physicality, Dana and Nia were those two.
Yeah.
And then just really quickly finishing off with the women. So really like what's going on with Eva, like the progression of that. I think still Sasha and Charlotte will have a great match.
Oh, yeah.
At Brooklyn. It sucks about Paige. Do we have a timetable when she's going to be back? Does she need next surgery?
No, nothing's really clear. Everything's more or less kind of kept.
I guess it's one of those things with her. We'll find out more on Total Divas.
Yeah, and I think that's where more information will come down.
And then I just want to turn the corner quickly to women with NXT this week. Billie Kay, again, another really impressive showing against Liv Morgan, who I really liked Liv Morgan. She brought those low Jordan 11s. But I really think after this match, Joel, with Asuka and Bayley, whoever does win it, we're presuming Asuka, I think Billie Kay is the next one down the pipe.
Yeah, you're seeing a lot of Billie Kay, so that obviously is the next person that they want to push forward. So,
which I think, you know, they have a nice package for her. The music's good. I personally like a Daria, but I don't think Daria may be ready yet. Billie Kay seems ready. She has the package. She has the music. She has the attitude. So, you know, the women's division, like we've talked about many times in NXT, it seems to be a nice little path.
Yeah, and I think I definitely agree with you. I definitely think that it's that progression forward for the next wave. It won't be the same as the Four Horsewomen, but it would never be the same as the Four Horsewomen. You can never expect that. So I think that Asuka's going to be leading the charge for the women in there, but you're going to have nice pieces like a Billie Kay, like a Liv Morgan.
Peyton Royce.
You've got some good pieces there that will eventually be able to take the ball and run with it. But as of right now, you're going to have a little bit of a drop-off, but at the same time, I think you're going to still have good matches, and overall, it's time for Bayley to come up to the main roster and just
be a star. It's time to make some money.
Yeah. So, Bayley, come on up to the main roster. NXT will be fine.
Yeah. Again, like, Joel, you hit it perfectly. Just those ladies right there are killing it, and we haven't even seen a Sarah Lee, a Mandy, who a Mandy could be the next Eva Marie, but one that could wrestle.
Yeah.
And then obviously Daria as well. So we were so scared, really, with what was going to happen with NXT, you know, with the women especially, with Sasha, Becky, and Charlotte going, but they finally found their face there for the women. And as for the men, Joel, the men, wow, it's in a really good place right now. I mean, you look at even a guy like Almos, who I thought this week had a much better showing on NXT than what we saw the first time. I'm like, okay, this is why this guy is so special. And I don't know if Ty – the funny thing is he was in with D'Angelo Dawkins, who I'm a big fan of, but I think will Sally just be relegated to Bull Dempsey jobber status in NXT?
Yeah.
But he did a great job of making Almost look a lot better than he did in the Brooklyn show, which is surprising because he was against Ty Dillinger.
Yeah, it was a little odd with how I think we're gonna see, like, this guy's very special, and I don't know why
he was like on your list of guys to watch out for at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, and I'm very interested to see why he wasn't in the Cruiserweight Classic. I think he would have been.
No, because you predicted this at the beginning of the year. So
yeah, I like, I thought he would have been a great fit there, and that's a great way to kind of build him up, because we haven't seen a lot of him in NXT.
This is the second time I remember seeing him.
Yeah.
I think we've seen more No Way Jose than him.
Yeah. I think for him, I think his match with the debuting Bobby Roode in Brooklyn 2 will be very interesting.
And that's an underrated match that no one's talking about.
Yeah, and I think that could be a good match. But ultimately, I think he's going to take a loss in Roode.
Yeah, well, I was going to ask you, Joel, that's a weird match to do. Like, unlike the No Way Jose Aries match, right? Like, if Aries loses, oh well, whatever. Aries gets heat with that, right? That's just what Aries does. But with Roode and Almost, it's two guys you really want to win, because Bobby Roode right now, we didn't get to talk enough about him last week because we didn't do a pod. Bobby Roode, as soon as he comes out now, he seems like the second biggest guy in the company.
Yeah. In the NXT.
Yeah, it's Joke is just by default of the champion, Nakamura, and then Bobby Roode, and then there's everybody else.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I don't disagree with you at all.
It's crazy with those three, especially because you're just like, these three are stars, call them up now. It's just stupid. They're all ready.
Oh yeah. And it's one of those things where you kind of sit there and you're kind of like, you realize what you have and what you can do.
Mm-hmm.
So just go out and cash in now.
And Roode, I don't think you can have him lose, but I don't think you can have Almost lose, but you can have a countdown in Brooklyn. So I agree with you. I think Bobby Roode's going to win that match, but I think Almost needs the win more.
Yeah. Like, it's going to be very interesting how they book this, because both these guys can't afford a big loss.
No.
A loss at Brooklyn 2 is a big loss.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. There's a little bit of a logjam right now in NXT because you do have Hideo, you have Nock, you have Joe, you have Bobby, you have Aries, you have all these guys that are...
We talked about the women. I didn't think the guy talent would pile up this fast, and you have that big November free agency period coming that'll probably bleed into the January of NXT with the Bucks and Cole and the Red Dragon guys and Lethal and Omega, and I'm probably forgetting somebody.
All these names are rumored, but yeah, if one or two of these guys... Even if one or two of these guys show up, suddenly you've got a little bit bigger of a... of a crowd that you're like, oh, what are we going to do? How are we going to make sure everyone gets their time and gets to the spot that they need to be? Because, again, this is developmental. So if you're not winning the NXT championship, I almost feel like they need a TV championship.
I agree.
I think it's gotten padded enough that you could have a TV champion and you could put it on different guys. And I mean, you look at, like, you go back to ECW with, like, RVD versus Jerry Lynn.
Yeah.
And having it for the television title, or anything that's done in ROH with the television title. It's worked. It's helped elevate guys, but it gives them something to do, and it's something that will always happen on your show. You'll always have a title defense.
Well, like a guy like a No Way Jose, who I've been more impressed, I still hate the name, but I've been more impressed with his attitude lately. And building him up and getting the promo and getting heated, and he's been very good in the ring. He's never going to probably weigh in NXT champion. But having a TV champion for a guy like No Way Jose would be huge, because it puts him as a champion in your developmental league.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's kind of one of the things where suddenly you can start putting like gold on some of these guys that help, like you said, elevate them and bring them a little bit of prestige, not the NXT, because that NXT title, to me, seems to be getting pretty prestigious. Like, it's had pretty solid runs. Like,
yeah, I mean, arguably, I think it's the highest prestige champion right now.
I
the world champion has done, you know, despite having the turnover, has seemed to be somewhat better in a better place lately.
Yeah.
And I think Miz is doing a decent job with the IC title.
Yep.
Just the way he builds it up. I mean, him losing doesn't help with the IC title. And I think, honestly, actually, you know what it is, Joel? It's the women's title.
Yeah.
That women's title means a lot. When Sasha won it, Charlotte had held it for the longest time ever, if you include both title runs, longer than Nikki Bella did. And it meant a lot when she wins it. It'll mean a lot when Bayley wins it.
Yeah. And it's not like playing hot potato with the titles.
Tag titles as well. Like, we know that they have they have the longest WWE run of all time. Not the world, but the longest WWE.
Yeah. And, I mean, a lot of these titles aren't in a terrible spot right now.
No.
And, I mean, like, the NXT title, you're going to have guys, you have a Neville, you have a Kevin Owens that has held it, a Sami Zayn.
Seth.
Seth Rollins. A
Big E.
Big E. Bo Dallas.
Bo's probably the worst NXT champion of all time. Yeah. But when he was there, he was great. He was a great in NXT World Heavyweight Champion. He was just what happened after, not so great. But that happens in development. You're not, and they didn't have the pike of an Austin Aries, a Bobby Roode, and almost Joe Nakamura, Hideo, all these guys at once.
Yeah, and now you've got a big crowd. Like, you could do, like, a... Like, you remember when they do the Fatal 4 where they'd have Neville, Kid, Breeze, and Sammy?
Oh, yeah.
They could do something like that at the tapings down in a couple months after.
Well, yeah, I was going to bring that up because you look... So, we're presuming that Nakamura is going to win this.
Yeah.
And I would think Joe would stay down for one more show afterwards. Or do they build that Joe took out Hideo? I think it's one of those two things.
I don't think Knock loses because
you No, have... I'm saying Knock wins no matter what.
Yeah.
It's what Joe does after. I think there's three options. Is it Joe rematch in any form, or is it Joe took out Hideo, or is it Joe to the main roster?
I think it's Joe to main roster. I think he'll challenge. It'll be kind of like a Finn Balor. It'll be...
Do you just leave the Hideo thing alone then and never bring it up until the main roster then, and you say it was KO?
Yeah, you can do that. But okay. What you can do is you can have what I'm thinking is you have a match between Joe and Knock on NXT to send Joe to the main roster, like what they did with Finn and Knock. And Knock sending people out of the NXT and driving them out and basically the king.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you build him and Hideo or him and Roode. Presumably him and Roode will probably be the next go-around. It could also be Aries because Aries... Well, Knock already beat Aries, so... It's kind of one of those things where I think Roode's the next in line after...
It's a rough problem to have, hey? That you have too much talent down there?
It's like, what do we do next? And you can always build other programs to keep guys busy and have entertaining programs regardless.
And I think... So a big part of this, too, is as we talk about this talent, is that there's word in WWE now that they realize they had messed the draft up.
Yeah.
And now they're working and talking about trades, and names that are going around are Kevin Owens and Cesaro for Randy Orton.
Get Orton on Raw for him and Brock.
Yeah. No, well, it'd be after.
After Brock?
But you would maybe do... There's been the talk of just doing KO for Orton straight up, or having Sheamus versus Orton... Sheamus versus Cesaro loser leaves town match.
Yeah.
And then Cesaro loses, and he gets to go to SmackDown, and you get KO and Cesaro. You lose Randy, but you get KO and Cesaro. They still need to get somebody else because they're about to lose Del Rio.
Yeah. Well, I think having having KO and having Cesaro both on SmackDown is a great call.
Yeah. And if you can get Joe there as well, then you're very set. Then I think that makes up what you just lost Shelton, right?
Yeah.
Shelton's gone for 6 months. It sounds like the weird thing with the Shelton thing is everyone's making it sound like he's not coming. Like, it's Shelton is still coming to the company.
It's just a delay.
So Shelton's gone for now, though, and you're probably losing Del Rio, right? Unless something drastic happens. So you need to get extra guys, but if you can get Cesaro, KO, and Randy to make up for those losses you're going to get, I think that's a pretty good break for them to have those three talented guys.
Yeah.
And then get Bayley as well.
Yeah. But I mean, the numbers, the ratings haven't been the greatest for WWE right now.
No. In all fairness, though, they ran SmackDown into the Olympics.
Yeah. And that's never a good thing because one's always going to win.
Yeah. And I think you kind of felt it. I want to get back more to this roster stuff, but you kind of felt it with both shows this week. That's why I think you and I were much more excited for CWC and NXT this week. I thought both shows were far superior to what either SmackDown or Raw brought this week.
Yeah, it was very much kind of a bit of a flat show for both. But, I mean, CWC has had a solid 2 weeks where there have been matches that have set the wrestling Twitter.
Two match of the year contenders that I guarantee you won't be on the Slammies.
Yeah, no, they're not going to get mentioned at all.
I actually thought NXT was, I think CWC was, if it depends what you define CWC as, but it was still the better show just because of the two matches. I thought NXT was one of the better episodes. It ran so smoothly. Oh, yeah. I didn't have a problem with anything. I thought everyone had their place in time. Even a team like the Power of Pain, it was well done, well executed. Billy Kay got her shine. Joe and Nock did the stuff with Joe and Nock, Joel, was so perfect. Because, so the music hits. Yes, we're scattering all over the place because we've been gone for 2 weeks. The music hits for Nakamura. I'm like, oh, but Nakamura, I'm just thinking in my head, like, Nakamura isn't going to do the typical, I'm running down to my music at full speed down the ramp. And he didn't. And he didn't jump an attack or anything. It was completely what Nakamura would do.
Yep. And that was the thing. That's what you... Nakamura's very calm. He's very relaxed. He's silly. He's got your nose. He Cocky. Slaps you. And it, you just see the anger in Samoa Joe, and it's just the perfect thing.
It was like the same kind of taunting him, and then got the two slaps in at the end. So now you got an angry Samoa Joe.
Yeah.
Which is the best kind of Samoa Joe.
Yeah. And now you've suddenly got to deal with that, and now it's one of those things where it's a lot more fun for us, because now you're sitting there like, oh boy. Not good.
So I thought that was just one of the – that got me, like, out of the three title programs, I still think Seth and Finn is going to be – is it though? I don't know, man. What do you think – if what title program are you the excited out of the three? I know. So obviously, all fairness, Dean and Dolph are below.
Yeah.
I'm still excited. I think that's going to be a great match. But compared to Seth and Finn and Joe and Nakamura, it's not even close. Yeah. Like, these are two possibly all-time matches in the history of the WWE.
And we're going to get the Demons, so...
Yeah, so... It's hard, man. It's like, again, that analogy I like to say, like, picking between... Do you want to get shot in your foot or your hand? Well, neither. But both are terrible options. In this case, both are great options. Like,
I think just as wrestling fans, it's just a chance to enjoy it. I mean, we're going to get to sit there and see Balor versus Rollins, and Rollins is just downright fantastic in that ring. Like, he can just
But go. You can say the same thing with Nock and Joe, right?
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun.
They're going to beat the shit out of each other, too.
That's
the difference between the Finn and the Seth match. It'll be a very good mix of cruiserweight technical match, but Joe and Nakamura are just gonna beat the living piss out of each other.
There's not gonna be much left of either one of them.
And you can make some french fries with all those potatoes.
Yeah. Oh god, you've been hanging out with Anderson and Gallows with your puns.
Yeah.
No, I think all three of these matches are gonna be a lot of fun, and I think all are doing a good job at telling a story. Finn, yeah. The rookie coming up against, I'm not even calling him a rookie, but Finn coming up against Seth Rollins, who's the man. It's been a decent build. I liked how Dean and...
What Finn did this week, building the mystique of those Ireland monsters. We had known kind of what the build of that was, because we're marks and we look up that stuff on the internet, but... For the common fan that didn't know that stuff, it was really cool for them to get an idea of what Finn is all about.
Yeah, and now you, in that video package alone, you have presented Finn Balor, you know everything about him, and now you're kind of like, okay, well, what is this Demon King? And I don't think we see the Demon King, but I think we see, there's going to be some mind games played. I mean, I can't see Finn not winning the championship. It
makes little sense.
Yeah.
Because, Seth is Teflon. Yeah, Seth has gotten to the point where he can take losses and it doesn't matter. I don't know where you go next, and I think eventually the match, it sounds like, is going to be, what, Finn and Roman at some point?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, obviously, you're going to want to turn Finn heel for that, because everyone still loves Roman Reigns.
Yeah, which is the club, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Which... So I had an idea too. Well, I do really want Joe on SmackDown. We had that picture yesterday, Joel, with him and the Authors of Pain. Wouldn't it be something if those Authors of Pain and Samoa Joe joined up with Roman Reigns to make a Super Samoan click?
Ooh, there we go. And then that means the club has to cut, like...
You read my mind, yeah.
Yeah, because then what you can do is you can have them beating down Finn. And girls, Anderson and Gallows try to make a save, and they get beat up. And yeah. It means whoever they get signed off the indies, whether it be Omega, Cole, or the Bucks, come out and make a save. Or because you're not going to have AJ run in, because AJ's busy.
No, AJ wouldn't be. Well, maybe it's Survivor Series, right?
Yeah.
If you build it to Survivor Series, and they're like, we can't beat him by ourselves, so we need to get AJ. And it's just that it's Survivor Series, so you can cross the streams, right?
Yeah. I don't know if I'd want to.
I don't know if I want that either, but I'm just saying, like, one of the Usos is hurt again, so I don't know how long they're hurt. And I think, all respect to the Usos, the Powers of Pain with a Samoa Joe or Roman Reigns is much more intimidating.
I had read somewhere that Vince wasn't happy with the Usos. He's labeled them injury prone.
Yeah, I would assume the same thing.
Yeah. And he's told them to lay off the dives. Like, don't do the dives.
Everyone should stop doing suicide dives. They should be banned like the headbutt. No more suicide dives. That means Sasha, stop it. Becky, stop it. And number one of everyone to stop doing the suicide dives, Joel, who?
Is he a little testy?
Yeah, he is. Big E, please stop. Please. You know when fans bring signs to show... They say, Big E, please stop diving. It's getting bad.
Yeah. Like, it's just like, you see
it. The move is called suicide dive.
Not when you have a move that's called that, it's probably not a good idea to do it.
Probably smart to not do the move that has the word suicide in it.
Yeah. It's... Big E needs to stop it, but... Yeah, it's one of those moves that it really depends on how it's handled and who's doing it. Because we've seen, like, we saw Brett do it forever, and Brett...
But he wasn't crazy. I'll get Brett crazy Brett. Brett daps on this. So, you know, he's been hitting on Seth and a lot of these guys for being unsafe. Brett did it safe. Brian and some of these guys don't. They do it with reckless abandonment.
Like, right now I'm seeing a picture of Luke Harper doing a suicide dive onto a ladder.
Yeah.
And you just sit there and you kind of think, like, no, bad.
Yeah, like, Brett was somewhat safe.
That was the one thing you can always say about Brett. No matter what happens or what's gone on, he's always been smart.
Yeah.
About how he did things in the ring. Back to, like... So is Big E hurt? What is the deal? I haven't heard why.
I haven't heard anything. Maybe I think it just could be because he was backstage for Puffy in a backstage like video for Up Up Down Down or something. He seemed in good spirits, so I think he's fine. They just want to sell the angle.
Yeah.
So and there's no reason for him to be on SmackDown. It makes more sense for the club to look like they're destroying the New Day, right? And then next week, Big E comes out, helps them, New Day has the numbers, and we go from there.
Yeah. I do think that the club's winning the straps.
I do too. It's time.
Yeah. And I mean, you can have the defeated champions where they've lost. They've set their record. Kofi's had that title forever. Like, I think Kofi goes to sleep with the World Tag Team titles because of how many times he's won it.
Yeah. And, can you name all the partners, Joel?
Let me see. Punk.
Yeah.
The New Day, obviously.
Obviously, yeah.
I'm trying to think. He did do some work with someone else.
He's two ones that you're missing.
What two am I missing?
Airborne.
Oh, he did. Yeah, Evan Bourne, yeah.
Yeah, and then he had one other one. He's been in the company for a long, long time.
I'm trying to think. Give me a clue.
He's in a tag team currently.
Jericho?
No.
I'm trying to think here. There's a lot of tag teams out there now.
Yeah.
Raw or SmackDown?
He's on Raw.
Okay. He's on Raw. I don't know. Just tell me, because it's going to bug me.
R-Truth.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He did that little schnick with R-Truth.
That seemed like a situation where they're like, well, we're all black. Put them together, goddammit.
Yeah, that seems like something Vince would do.
Yep, unfortunately. So, as I actually go into that, an unsubtleness that the WWE can have. So, they met with GLAAD this week.
Hmm.
And came in the writer's room, and GLAAD talked to them about words they can use and ways to talk about things correctly, and if they talked about them to introducing LGBT characters, which is pretty funny that they met with GLAAD, and then Big Cass had a homophobic comment this week on Raw.
Yeah. It's the irony of pro wrestling. It's really what it comes down to. I mean, at this point, is it that big of a deal if they add an LGBT
character? I think it's... We've never really... Well, we have Goldust, but not done correctly, right? He was using mind games, Joel.
Well,
his homosexuality was mind... No, what?
Apparently, Terry Reynolds and Jim Ross had a podcast talking about that. And okay. Goldust wanted to get breast implants.
Yes, he did.
And they wanted to give whoever the girl that was with Goldust a prosthetic penis that you could only see at various points. Like, you could think that something is there.
See, why do people think the Attitude Era is so great?
I don't know, man. You hear stuff like that. That was apparently brought up in a creative meeting between Briscoe.
Bro, what we're going to do... Russo was part of this.
I don't know.
Bro, we're going to put breasts on him, bro. It's going to be great, bro.
Oh.
So, going back to that, aside from Goldust having fake breasts, which I wish we had someone that could do Photoshop, and that would be the picture for this week's podcast. I don't know how they put an LGBT character in correctly, Joel, without them looking like they're forcing it.
Yeah,
it has to be done very subtly. I mean, we know that they have a gay man and Darren Young on their roster. That would be the right way to do it. Do you want to force like a gay relationship onto Darren Young?
No, see, and that's the thing with this. Like with anything, it has to. Anything that's good in pro wrestling is natural and organic. And it's great that they want to do something like this. This is absolutely the way the company should move.
Yeah, forward. This was Stephanie that reached out to them, by the way. So she's been very good with stuff like that.
Yeah. At the end of the day, you can't force it and be like, see, look at what we're doing. This is sunshine and rainbows, and yes, this is great. No, you have to have it naturally. And I guarantee you, there's plenty of people that are in the LGBT community that... are a pro wrestler that could come in and be that character, but it has to happen just naturally. It can't be like, we need to do this. It has to be, well, this person has the talent to be in ring, can talk on the mic, do whatever you need it to do, but at the same time, have it where they're talented, but also they fit what you need. It's very hard, it's a very tricky thing to do, especially when you want to fill a quota, which seems to be what they would try to do. Because
right.
WWE's tried to fill quotas before. To be like, see, look, we have this. You just need to let it naturally happen. And it's great that they want that to happen. It's great that they have such open doors that are like, it doesn't matter who you are, but if you're a good performer and you can talk on the mic, we want you here.
I think the only harder industry to come out in, aside from hip-hop, is wrestling.
I don't know. Pat Patterson.
Yeah, but I still think you got a lot of... I mean, we know the comments that AJ's made in the past. Not to throw AJ under the bus. I love the guy, but he's made the comments, and there's been a few other guys that have made comments. And I think it's got a lot better. It's not as bad as what hip-hop is, right? Hip-hop... is an entirely different level, and same as some sports. And I think, too, the really unfortunate thing is, let's say if you're a gay man, for instance, I'm not trying to isolate gay women, but if you're a gay man, for instance, you see characters like Goldust and Billy and Chuck and Orlando Jordan in TNA.
Yeah.
And they make them these over-sexualized party guys, and there's a lot of bad stereotypes with it, much like if you're a special needs person and you see what they did with Eugene.
Yeah.
That, to me, would be very worrisome for trying to make something like that work.
See, and you suddenly have all these issues that you have to tread so lightly on, and it's going to be very interesting how they go moving forward with this, because this is something that they're going to want to do. So
yeah, I love it. I'd love to see a trans character. I'd love to see gay and lesbian characters. I think it'd be fantastic.
Yeah, and here's the thing. It'd be great, and it's something that should happen. But at the end of the day, it's something we shouldn't think about.
It should be the point if Darren Young has a match and he wins a title and his boyfriend is in the front row, there's like, oh, there's Darren Young and his boyfriend. And they don't – but knowing them, like, there's Darren Young and his boyfriend. That's his boyfriend right there. No one else should be caring about it. It should just be, there's Darren Young's boyfriend right there. Cool. He won the title and he's celebrating with his boyfriend. And nobody thinking anything other than that. But knowing them, if he wins a title, and if Darren Young has a boyfriend, I don't know if he does. Is Darren Young gay or is he bi?
Gay, I believe.
Okay.
This is all so, like...
Okay, but just saying, like, if Darren Young, you know, if he won a championship and he has his boyfriend come out, if he has one, I don't know. It has to be a situation where it's just organic, like Zack Ryder's dad coming out, right?
Yeah.
She's like, oh, that's awesome. He gets to celebrate with his boyfriend.
Or when you would see Michaels kiss his wife.
Yes.
And it was just that happened, and that was nothing.
That's his family celebrating with him, and that's all we need to care about.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I mean, I wouldn't say that, okay, this happened this week, this meeting, and it's going to happen immediately. But, I mean, it's good to know they're talking to the writers. Hopefully a comment like Cass made. I don't know if that was him going off the cuff. I'm hoping, for the writer's sakes, after they met with a company with them, that it was, because it was a stupid comment about Bert and Ernie and bathtubbing with Jericho and Owens. It was just an out-of-context, stupid comment to make in 2016.
Yep. No, I definitely agree with you. I definitely think that you hear certain things and you're like...
It's stuff like that, and like it gets me back to just cringing with like the comments The Rock made about Lana. It's like, it's 2016. We don't need to have these sexist or homophobic comments anymore in wrestling. There's just no need for it.
No, it's just like anything else. Like, you just have to be like wary of your audience. You have to be wary of your audience, and you have to also sit there and be like, well, you know, this isn't the time or the place to say certain things like this. So.
It's like talking to Asian family that I have, or friends, and they're worried about what a guy like a Hideo or Oscar or Knock are going to be like when they come to the main roster and getting hit with stereotypes.
Yeah.
That's because the what they've had in the past with Tajiri and Kenzo Suzuki and Hibashi and Funaki, you know, it's, and Taka, like Taka Michinoku is one of the greatest wrestlers ever.
Yeah.
You know, and the way they treated him was absolutely asinine. It was just ridiculous.
It's a very, the things that the company has done it can be very worrisome for other things. Cause you're like, you've done this once, how, I don't know if you're going to be able to pull this off properly and respectfully.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me nervous. Like I love pro wrestling. Like,
yeah, for sure.
When I see certain things like that, it's like, oh, God, this is why people make fun of it. This is why people...
Yeah. Well, it's like you look at that BuzzFeed thing, right? What's the first thing they show? Katie Vick. Yeah. And the negatives of the world of wrestling, and if they bring up I just imagine a trans character, you know, with everything with the show on Amazon and especially Caitlyn Jenner and the light that she's put onto it, and what they would do with a trans character, because that's something you could do a really good job of storytelling, right?
Yeah.
But it's all about the storytelling with something like a trans character. It's all about the storytelling. And again, the word you keep on using, the subtleness. The subtleness of how they would introduce a trans character. And I think it helps, honestly, not having a Jerry Lawler on a commentary. Because in the Attitude Era, that person's getting made fun of.
Yeah. It's definitely one of those things where you kind of sit there and you're like, you gotta be careful. You gotta do it right. You've gotta... Because, I mean, you look at everything with the LGBT community. And everything that they've had to go through, like, neither of us will know fully what they've had to
go
through.
Never.
And that's the biggest thing is, you need to have writers that know what it's like to be in their
community. I think you may even need LGBT writers, like people that are gay, lesbian, or transgender in your writing room that can help give an understanding of what that lifestyle is like.
Yeah, because it is something where you kind of sit there and you will never fully know, and you kind of got to sit there and kind of go, okay, how are they going to handle this? Because it needs to be handled in such a way that is classy and dignified. Like, it should be handled like it's John Cena versus AJ Styles.
Yeah.
The same thing for that character. For whatever character you bring in, should be handled the same way you would have Sasha Banks.
And it's crazy, too, just because, really, all TV has progressed to this way. I mean, yeah. Game of Thrones and all these major shows have major characters that are in that position, more or less, right? And WWE is really the last place that really has even had that. Even the NFL, the NBA have gone down that road right now. Not by their choice, but they've had athletes that have played like a Jason Collins and Michael Sam. And I think it's time for WWE to do it, but do it correctly. Yeah. And I think it's just the past that they've done stuff like that with, it makes you nervous. But you're hopeful that it can be good because that can be a sign as a wrestling fan. It's like, hey, look, they did this really well.
Yep. And you can be sitting there and you can be like, they handled it well. They took this story and they handled it with class and dignity. And they gave this person an honest shot. And it didn't matter what the sexual orientation or anything like that. The only thing that mattered was this guy or gal could come in and wrestle and perform.
Yeah. And I think we'll end that segment on that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I think we made it out okay in that one, Joel.
Yeah, it's always really tricky talking about certain things, especially when you're not ever been in a situation.
No, I have family that is, but I still can never connect with everything they've gone through.
Yeah, and it's the one thing where it's kind of like you're treading on water, and you don't want to have a slip of the tongue where you say something that you didn't. Like, just a word, and that's the biggest thing with something like this, and this is something that the Fed has to be very wary of, is you have to be careful with how you say things and do things, but I agree. I think we handled it well, and
So the next one is going back to this roster stuff. So I think we're in agreement you need to do it after SummerSlam before Backlash.
Yeah.
Because Backlash is going to need a little bit of a change-up, change that oil.
Yeah,
no, it's getting a little thick. I don't know, but the thing is, like, there's not many stars you can really move. I think Randy's the only one that can be moved, and it's more sure move Randy, but add a lot more to SmackDown.
Yeah, it's gonna be really tricky how they do make these roster moves because you need to have that balance. I think adding Orton to Raw is not a terrible thing, but then who's AJ? Is AJ feuding with? Does that mean that
I've heard Dean.
Dean?
It sounds more like Dean at Backlash.
Well, I think Dean's earned it. So that means AJ's got to get a win over Cena to propel him to that next step. So
yeah.
But, I mean, it's a good spot for both KO and Cesaro to be in because...
Is it better for KO to go to SmackDown or is it better for Sammy to go to SmackDown?
I don't know because KO...
Sammy wasn't even on Raw this week.
Yeah, it might be better to send Sammy over
was
there.
Was he on the... And it wasn't like the tour was happening, because Raw didn't leave for the tour till Tuesday from Melbourne.
Yeah. I would almost send Sammy, because KO's got a decent little thing right now with Jericho.
Yeah, like, Sammy, I worry about...
Yeah, I
getting lost in the shuffle. Like, Roman's going to win that U.S. title, right?
I hope not. I've enjoyed Ruru. I always will have a soft spot for Ruru.
Me too. And I would like a Sammy versus Ruru title feud.
Yeah.
And that makes more sense. Something like a Bulgarian and a Canadian fighting for an American championship.
Yeah. I hope the American Canadian wins.
Just us. Yeah. So I'm interested by this idea of trades and whatnot. I think that we will see something after SummerSlam. And unfortunately, we're probably going to get Sheamus and Cesaro there, even though we've already seen it twice, and he's already won twice.
Yeah. What was I going to say? I think the biggest thing for all of this, it's going to be, I would almost have a trade deadline.
Yeah, good call, Joel.
I would have it, the night before Royal Rumble, you can make trades. And then once the Royal Rumble's on, then no more trades. That's your roster heading into WrestleMania.
And WrestleMania trades can happen again.
Not until the draft. So there'd be a freeze
Okay. So when do you do the draft?
Month after WrestleMania.
Month after WrestleMania. Okay.
Let it all settle. I wouldn't do it the night after WrestleMania.
No, because that's still a big seller in its own right. The draft does ratings. We saw the draft does big ratings. It gets SmackDown its biggest ratings of all time in USA.
Yeah.
So the draft is good ratings in itself.
Yeah. So month after, do it on SmackDown, have it, and then you can shake things up, as Vincent Kennedy McMahon likes to say, and then you go from there, and then you can have trades opened around the after the draft's all done, and I would have it be you draft five guys or girls. It's very small and subtle. It's not
NXT call-ups on it.
So I'll change my mind on the cuff because I can.
It has to be the random draw this time though.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
It's got to be what Bischoff and Heyman went through.
Yeah.
And you can have Cena draft someone, and you have stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's definitely going to be very interesting how they do. But I think the trades could be good for some guys. I think it's a good way to kind of fix things when you realize things aren't a fit, because you might sit there and think, well, this will work good, and then you realize, crap, it's not going to work. I think Cesaro has a better chance to shine on SmackDown, and I think he overall has an opportunity to be either an Intercontinental or ultimately a WWE World Heavyweight Champion.
I agree.
And I think Sammy would benefit more than KO, just because I think Sammy needs a better platform. I think KO can shine wherever. I think that's just simply because of mic skill. But we've seen strong mic skill from Sammy, but when you're not putting him on the show, people are going to be like, meh, I don't care about Sammy.
That's the same problem, right?
With Brian, because once he's on SmackDown, once he really got to run with things, then it's hard to deny him a spot.
I agree. I think it's time. We've held off long enough.
Yeah.
CWC. By the way, really quick prediction for Brooklyn. Hideo doesn't have a listed opponent yet. You know who I'd have Hideo face?
Who?
Cedric Alexander.
Yeah, because it seemed like it seems like they want to sign him, Josh.
Yeah. So we have missed 2 weeks of CWC on here, and two matches that are match of the year contenders. Really, I think for the last 3 weeks we've had a match of the year contender. 4 weeks. Because we had Owen Sammy. The next night we had Charlotte Sasha. Then we had Ciampa and Gargano. And then we've had Alexander and Kota.
Oh, God.
Not to mention that really good Buddy Murphy and Kota match as well.
Yeah. Let's talk about the match that we need. Gargano versus Ciampa. You told me that we're kind of looking for our next Daniel Bryan, that underdog.
Which we thought was Sammy, but we don't know anymore.
Yeah, but boy, does Gargano connect with the crowd.
Does he ever.
And boy, does he sell well in that match, Gargano versus Ciampa. Ciampa was cut from his OVW contract 9 years ago.
Oh, I did not know that.
And so he had gone through and he traveled and he learned, and now look at him now.
Just glorious.
Yeah.
We'll get to the bombs at the end.
But boy, they told a great story in that match. I think it's still the best CWC match we've seen because of the story.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are on the Alexander and Kota tip, which, I mean, I can't disagree.
No.
It's a great match. I just think, again, like you just mentioned, the story that that Ciampa and Gargano told was just too good.
Oh, yeah.
And I keep on going back to that knee when Ciampa could have took him out with a knee and he didn't. And you have that spot to go back to whenever they fight.
Yeah, and I think you have plenty of opportunity to build something more down the line. And boy, oh boy, they have a good matches against each other. I can't wait to see what they can do next, especially because Ciampa's the perfect heel.
He's really good.
He has that being heel. Look of a heel. He has everything you need, that a guy that you just don't like.
He's kind of if Necro Butcher was WWE ready, because he has a little bit of Necro Butcher in him.
Yeah.
But Necro Butcher can, much like Necro Butcher is this era's New Jack, he's never coming to WWE.
Yeah.
But like, you see him as like, oh, this guy has a lot of the craziness and the facials that Necro Butcher has, but refined technical ability and a better look for the WWE, and he's not mentally crazy insane like Necro Butcher is.
Yeah, and I mean, how long has it been since we've mentioned New Jack on this podcast?
I think it's the first time we've mentioned Necro Butcher.
Yeah, the first time Necro Butcher, but our favorite New Jack, finally slipped his way back in.
Finally getting to shine.
No, I definitely agree. I think that... Ciampa could be a great heel in NXT. Like, you saw his match against Samoa Joe, and just the hard-hitting physical match is exactly what you'd want.
Both those guys have really surprised me because, look, these guys were okay on as far as recognizability. It's not – they weren't, like, overwhelmingly big indie stars.
Yeah.
I think that's fair to say. They were good, don't get me wrong. But, like, the most devoted of indie fans knew who they were. But if you're more of a casual indie fan like you and I are, you know the name Adam Cole and Jay Lethal and the Bucks and Omega and Ricochet and Will Ospreay. You know those guys. Gargano and Ciampa were, like, out there, and you kind of like a Tom Riddle. Yeah. They're like, oh, yeah, they're there doing their thing. Maybe they'll make it, but you don't really think about them too much. They rose to the top.
Yeah, and they found a spot, and you give a lot of credit to Gabe Sapolsky and Evolve
for yep.
creating this.
Yep, 100%. So that match, really, like you said, that match absolutely blew me out of the water. I've gone back, watched that over and over again, and the beautiful thing as we go to the other matches, the beautiful thing about both these matches are, Joel, is just you felt the storytelling and the emotion of both of these. In this one, it was two friends. Best man at the one's wedding that was a week away. They were friends. They were family. They were tag team partners. And they beat the crap out of each other because they wanted to prove who was better between the two of them.
Yeah.
In the Cedric Alexander Kota match, it was Cedric Alexander proving that he belongs over and over again. And you felt a guy that was so close and just messed up, but still had the ability to get the respect from the audience and ultimately from the boss, Triple H.
Yeah, that moment afterwards where you saw Hunter come out and
yeah.
crowd chanting, sign him, it's just like, it's crazy. And then you even listen to his promo afterwards where they're interviewing him, and he's talking about, this won't be the last time you see me if I have my way.
Yeah.
I really think he's on his way to the Fed.
So there's a bunch of different guys in the CWC, you know? There's a Zack Sabre, who they've been trying to get, but he says he has personal issues, and he wants to try more stuff, and it doesn't sound like they're going to get Zack Sabre. There's the Kotas, who are on the fence. There's the Grand Metallic Link, who seem like they're going to go. And then there's guys like the Rich Swans and the Kotas, who are just desperate. Like they've done okay in the indies. Again, not a huge name, much like that Gargano. They did okay in the indies, but all they want to do is be in the WWE and prove themselves on the biggest stage of them all.
Oh, yeah.
They haven't had the indie success that a Ricochet, Ospreay, and a Zack Sabre have. And that's why they look at this as the platform to finally have that success. And that's a really interesting thing about this. You have the guys like a Zack Sabre and a Kota. These are known names. When they sign with the company, they'll be big stars. But guys like Gargano And even to a degree, T.J. Perkins, even though he was in TNA, right, Joel? And Gallagher. These are guys that weren't super well known, but now all of a sudden, people know who Gallagher is, and people know who Cedric Alexander is. I guarantee you more people know about Cedric Alexander this week and know about what he did than know what Bobby... Did you know Bobby Lashley has all three TNA championships right now?
What?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, we'll be talking about TNA in a moment, but...
Bobby Lashley won the X Division title last night.
But he's... I'm not touching it. I'm walking away.
Yeah, he is. I was... Because of what happened yesterday there, which we'll get to in a second. And I just went on their Instagram page for the first time ever. And I saw Bobby Lashley had all three championships. I'm like, okay then. Gimmick they have done before with Kurt Angle, by the way.
Yeah. But didn't they do that with Joe as well?
I don't know if they did it with Joe. I know for sure they did it with Kurt. You could be right.
I don't know TNA history as well.
Yeah. But, yeah, so you see guys in the Screen Junkies like Nick Mundy tweeting with Lance Storm about it. So you see other people in other industries tweeting about this match this week and the match last week. This match got a lot more mainstream attention, I feel like.
Yeah.
Which is why, you know, I don't think people are talking about Gargano and Ciampa as much, which you and I both personally feel is better. But again, it's much like that Ospreay and Ricochet match. If it's getting main attention, that's beautiful. It's beautiful for the CWC, for the WWE, and for the world of professional wrestling.
Yep, and that's the one thing that this... that's the whole thing at the end of the day with this tournament, is it is creating that platform for other people to shine. And when these guys come up to Raw, and they have...
That's what I was going to say. So if they come to Raw now, if Cedric Alexander forgoes NXT and just goes right to Raw, people was like, oh, I've heard of that Cedric Alexander guy.
And, I mean, honestly, I'd take a half-hour chunk of the show, and I'd split it and have two 15-minute matches.
Which is another argument to get more talent, known talent to SmackDown.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to have that block there for the Cruiserweights, then maybe you should get the Sammys and the Cesaros and even a Sheamus or something to SmackDown so they have more of a chance to shine over there, and you're still guys there, but then you let the CWC and the women have a block there.
Yeah. And it's something different. It's filling that hour, that hour. And you know that you can fill 2 hours with the roster that you have.
Mm-hmm.
So you're kind of good, and it'll be good for Raw as a whole. And definitely want to tune in and watch. If you have Kota Ibushi on Monday Night Raw,
yep,
I'm there every week.
There's a handful of those guys. Now, a question for you is, I think Jack Gallagher will be signing with them.
Yeah.
But there's a problem with his character as far as the main roster goes. And in the way that, do you just ignore the vaudevillains and say he's Raw's kind of vaudevillain? Or do you put him on SmackDown? I know, but it's the same kind of character.
Yeah, there is some similarities, but he's not going to be coming out to the black and white.
No, I know that. I'm just saying, in case people get confused and maybe think he's in English even.
I can see people getting confused, but I can also see it where it's a cruiserweight guy, you just build him up, and you more or less just say that he's the perfect gentleman. And he's from
Britain. What I was saying. I think he's more of a distinguished English gentleman than a 20s vaudevillain.
Yeah.
I look at him more that way, like a kind of a Downton Abbey type of character.
Yep. And that's what I would build him as.
Yeah. You can have him sipping tea or something in the back. As a British person, I'm not a fan of those cliches, but it's much like with being Canadian as well. I don't like seeing maple syrup and all that stuff, but sometimes that stuff works.
Yeah, and that's just the way your character kind of...
Stereotypes happen, and sometimes in wrestling, just like we talked about with the prior conversation, sometimes those things come out front and foremost, unfortunately. Yeah.
But all in all, CWC had a home run 2 weeks in a row. I'm excited to see what next week brings. Kendrick versus Ness.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of good matches.
Noam Dar is fighting.
Yeah. And I thought, the What Culture Pro Wrestling, you saw Dar, Ospreay, and El Gringing. I don't know.
Joel sucks. Joel's not great with names.
No, Joel's not good with names. We've learned and accepted it.
Exana for the longest time for Asuka.
Yeah.
Let's never forget.
Never forget. They had a good match, and Dar looked good. And I think Dar's a guy that I think WWE...
Yeah, you're very big on Noam Dar. I wasn't as big on him, but I think, again, it was because he was in with one of the Bollywood boys. He's fighting next week, And I haven't seen that CWC match yet. I look forward to watching it, especially with Ospreay in it.
Yeah, that's the whole reason to watch it.
Of course, because Ospreay arguably is the biggest free agent in wrestling right now. Actually, I think it's Ricochet, personally.
Yeah, well, neither are technically free agents, but, I mean...
And if you're on WWE's watch and you have a board, I think Mo, out of respect to our dear friend Mo, would argue Adam Cole. Put that argument there for him every single time. I think you and I would argue Ricochet, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you get a seal of approval from The Rock, and you're an indie star, I think you know you're on the right track.
Yeah, and I think it means you're coming to the Fed.
Yeah.
Because, more or less, you've got a stamp of approval from the great one, so...
The next thing I wanted to talk about was a possible tag team breakup.
Oh, you've been on this.
Oh, yes, I have. So, the Dudley Boys. There was a little bit of a look, Joel.
We'll wait and see.
I'm going to call this segment, until it happens, hashtag Bully Ray Watch.
Oh, boy.
We're officially on Bully Ray Watch. Had a little bit of a look at D-Von. We'll see what happens. This marks day one, episode one of Bully Ray Watch.
We'll see. We'll see. Maybe they do it. Maybe they don't.
I've been wanting this for so freaking long.
I hope it gets, because it's something you've got. And I know.
And again, we talked about, like, who are the heels on the SmackDown side, on the Raw side, sorry, that Finn can then feud with. I think ultimately it's just going to go him versus Roman, whatever Roman will be at that time. But so there's Seth, there's Sheamus, which I guess you could do the Ireland feud. Ruru, which I don't think they'll go near each other, really.
I think it'd be a fun match.
I don't know. It sounds more and more like KO's going to SmackDown, but KO's there as well. But it sounds like they're kind of a tag team, KO and Jericho, right now. So I don't know. So there's not really any distinguished heels there before maybe the Roman feud. Bully Ray versus Finn.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
You could do it, but you got to build Bully Ray up to be a credible threat.
Yes, you do, because they haven't been on TV quite a bit.
Yeah. What was I going to say? Just as a side note, because it popped into my head, just wait until they trade KO to SmackDown.
Yeah.
And KO and Jericho have their breakup video.
Oh, God.
That's the first thing that popped into my mind of how that could play out.
That would be pretty great. Can't deny that.
Yeah. KO can take his scarf with him to always remember Jericho.
You wanted to talk about TNA?
Yeah, so Damian Sandow cut a promo.
Yeah.
Like, I mean...
Reminded me of Ken Anderson when he did a promo.
Yeah, it's...
I get it. You're bitter. I don't want that to be your character.
I want you to come in and just be like, hey, you know, I didn't get a shot there.
Exactly.
But I'm getting a shot here, so let's go see what I can do.
Yeah, and like, I don't know. I don't like when you don't need, that's been TNA's problem. They come on, they let these guys talk about the WWE. Be TNA. Be Impact Wrestling, whatever the hell you're called. You have some good stuff going on. I mean, I'm interested to see Broken Matt Hardy and Brother Nero. I've been slightly watching YouTube clips of it. You haven't got me to turn into your show. But I've been watching the YouTube clips once in a while.
Yeah.
So you're gauging my interest for the first time in 2 years. So you're getting there, TNA. You're gauging people's interest back. I've had people ask me, who's this Broken Matt Hardy? Who's Brother Nero?
Oh, that's a whole podcast in itself to try to explain.
But it's, right? Like, we watched the Final Deletion. Everybody did. The WWE had a freaking locker room party watching it. John Cena, like, has watched it apparently, like, 15 times, breaking it down and analyzing it.
Of course he has. Speaking of Cena, he's now considered himself a part-timer.
Which he should be.
Yeah. So does that mean he doesn't get drug tested anymore? Hey,
I didn't think about that.
Gotta throw that out there.
I did not think about that. Good call. I guess not.
So I guess
did we not do a pod on that with that breaking?
Oh yeah, about not
Brock's loophole.
Yeah, Brock's loophole.
Did we talk about that?
I think so.
Just whatever. It's ridiculous. If we didn't talk about it, basically there's a loophole if you're a part-time performer. So Rock, Undertaker, Hunter. Hunter. Vince. Hunter. Now Cena don't have to do drug testing.
Yeah, so there's that. It's a situation where not a lot of people know about it, but when you actually know about it, you're kind of like, And Randy apparently Randy went to rehab to get another strike off his record.
Yep.
So does that mean Randy just checked into rehab and hung out and gave people RKOs? What?
The one that I'm the most curious about that I didn't read enough into, that maybe you read more into this, Jeff. When Brother Nero comes back, I'm not going to play silly. So when Jeff Hardy comes back, he has two strikes. But are they not a race now?
I don't know, because it might be this thing with how many years they've been.
Same with Ray. Like, are Ray's strikes done? Same with MVP. Is his strikes gone?
I don't know, because I think you have to do something very specific to get those strikes removed. So...
Well, Jeff's been out of the company for 5+ years.
So maybe they have something, because it's the WWE, Josh. They've got to have loopholes upon loopholes of things that they can do for a certain thing.
Right,
so.
And Jeff, let's be clear, Jeff was not fired because of Strike 3. Jeff's contract had ran up.
Yeah. And then he got busted for
Ray's contract had ran up, but both had two strikes.
Yep. And it's crazy to think Ray having two strikes just based on his size.
Yeah, but then again, his size.
Yeah.
He was pretty jacked some of those times.
Well, he grew up in that generation with Guerrero, Benoit.
Yeah, yeah.
So, kind of makes sense.
So, what I want to do is the end of, I think any other news I'm missing out here, Joel?
Nothing that I can think of that's crazy major.
No, we didn't really talk about Dean and Austin.
Oh, yes, Dean and Austin. Awkward little mess. It was fun.
Yeah, as a broadcaster, I thought Austin stepped his bounds. I thought he was a bad broadcaster in that instance. I kind of compare it in these two instances. I think Jericho is a better interviewer as far as a steady tone.
Yeah.
Austin is the better broadcaster of asking the questions that you want to be asked.
Yeah.
But Jericho's better at a nice steady tone and conversation. And I thought Austin overstepped his boundaries as a reporter. And as a reporter myself, if someone's not going to answer it, you move on. And I thought Austin berated a little too much, to the point that he irritated the subject.
Yeah, he made a mountain out of a molehill. But I mean, we got a few sound bites from Dino saying that Brock was lazy.
Yeah.
And Austin called Dean out.
I thought that was unfair.
Yeah.
Dean's done some. Look, no one's been a bigger detractor in our We Talk Wrestling World than me of Dean Ambrose.
Yep.
And I've been beyond impressed with him this last three weeks to a month. He's proved me wrong. Much like Charlotte proved me wrong, he has proved me wrong.
Yeah.
He's been tremendous. Promo he did 2 weeks ago with him and Dolph was more like it. It was more like himself. Yeah. And you can tell he doesn't like the lunatic fringe character. He's just like, I'll go along with it. But you can tell that was more who he's been these past 2 weeks in SmackDown than what we've ever seen. He doesn't like the lunatic fringe character. You can tell.
He just wants to be Dean Ambrose
or whatever
his real name is.
Yeah, John Moxley.
So he wants to be just that.
Yeah, and I think he did. I like the interview he did more with Renee. Again, they're dating, but I thought it was more tongue-in-cheek and fun. And Dean's a very smart guy. If you hear him talk in other interviews, he's a very smart guy. But you have to let him go. And I found out that Austin, much like I do to Joel quite a bit, interrupted him in the middle of talking points.
I just don't get my thoughts across. There's brilliant ideas I have, and it just sits there.
It's much worse with me and Mo.
Yeah. Oh, when you two there, I don't have an opinion. I just kind of like, yep, this is what I think. Keep going.
What did you think about it overall?
You know, I thought it was okay, but you definitely saw it was definitely uncomfortable at times. It was a little awkward. But at the end of the day, you know, you can't really sit there and call out your world champion.
I don't think it was the worst one.
No.
Brock was the worst one.
Yeah.
Brock was boring.
Yeah. Brock doesn't care.
No, and they were talking about guns and all this stuff. Maybe, I don't know, maybe if you're... I'm not going to say anything bad there. Never mind. I'm going to close my mouth on that one.
Yeah.
Joel doesn't need to edit.
Just walk away.
just going to say, that wasn't for me, a lot of the stuff. I wanted to hear the wrestling and his backstory of MMA, and it was a lot more other stuff and farming for Brock, and I just didn't care for that.
Yeah. I mean, but, and, you know, it is what it is.
And Asuka kind of tries to go to that personal route a lot more.
Yeah.
Which is fine, but I think the thing I love about Jericho is he gets them to talk about personal stuff in a roundabout way, yeah. Talking about their wrestling career, where Austin kind of goes right for it.
Yeah, Austin goes for the jugular. You know what Austin podcast needs to happen the night after WrestleMania?
What?
You need to get The Rock on there.
That's the one that everyone's wanted for a while.
I think Rock and Austin, that podcast could be a lot of fun.
Austin's been pretty vocal that he wants it.
Yeah.
We still have the biggest podcast ever come with Mick Foley and Jericho, though, in March.
Yeah.
So that'll be good. But in all honesty, the biggest podcast ever is Rock Austin.
Yeah, that would be huge to get Rock's thoughts on things. And I mean, The Rock's been in the news a lot because him and Vin Diesel aren't BFFs.
Yeah, so you and I had thought that this was Scott Eastwood.
Well, you thought Scott Eastwood.
I thought it was Scott Eastwood. I thought it was Vin at first, and then the Hollywood Reporter was saying it was Scott Eastwood, and now it's not Scott Eastwood, it's Vin. Vin is the producer of Fast 8?
Yeah.
And he's been showing up late.
Yeah, he's been showing up late and just not...
And had creative differences with The Rock.
Yeah, and you don't upset The Rock. That's just not something you do. It's not a good idea.
No, so... We've known they haven't liked each other for a while, and I guess that'll be much more interesting when we watch Fast 8 and see these Rock and Vin Diesel scenes and see them not actually like each other in the scenes.
Yep. It won't be so much acting.
And I mean, that to me is one thing that really, if you know The Rock a little bit, being late seems like something that he doesn't have time for with how busy he is.
Yeah, he's got so much on the go. Like, you don't waste that man's time.
Like, he's probably going to start shooting another season of Ballers soon here.
Oh, probably. He's just going to keep going and going and going and going until...
In between all the working out that he does and everything else that he does.
Yeah, and he's releasing a Rock shoe now with Under Armour. So he's got everything going.
He's got the promo contest going right now, which you and I haven't dived into because we have too much to cover.
Yeah.
If anything super comes out of there that gets viral, we'll cover it. But other than that, I don't think we're really going to talk about that Rock promo contest.
No.
Even though Kurt Angle's part of it.
Yeah. Well, Kurt Angle was there, and they had Vicky Guerrero there as well.
Oh, okay. So you got decent people.
Yeah. They're all giving their thoughts on promos, so.
Yeah. Again, not too much to talk about with Dean and Finn. Been a good build. We'll talk about that more next week when we get to SummerSlam. Anything else we missed?
Nothing that I can think of.
I think the biggest things we talked about, the LGBT story obviously took a big part of it. I just thought that was a really interesting story. Eva's been such a big story. CWC's been awesome. So on that, what I want to do going forward is I want to rank the shows, Joel.
Okay.
So we'll do top five that you have watched for shows that week. So if you end up watching, this doesn't include WWE. So if you see TNA that week, What Culture, Rev Pro, Lucha Underground, whatever, make an argument for the go in the top five.
My top five will be CWC, NXT. Yep. Then bringing up is What Culture Pro Wrestling. I enjoyed the match with Ospreay.
So you have What Culture at a SmackDown and Raw?
Yep.
Okay.
It was 20 minutes of my life that I don't sit there and go, meh. It was a good match. It was fun. Ospreay's getting a little... He's not connecting with kicks, Josh, and it's bugging me a bit, but that's a story for another day. And then Raw, then SmackDown.
I'm going to go CWC. I'm going to go NXT.
Yeah.
I'm going to go SmackDown. I did see a bit of TNA, but I'm going to go Raw. And then I'm going to go to TNA at the bottom.
That's fair.
Yeah. I haven't seen What Culture, so I'm sure it's up there. I saw more TNA this week with the Damian Sandow promo and some of the Brother Nero and the Bobby Lashley stuff. But definitely CWC and NXT. That Wednesday block continues to be the best block. And it's really, in this time of the Olympics, it doesn't affect too much for them because they're just getting the network numbers, right?
Yep.
And I feel, and this is how we end up shows also, on one big epic rant upon Josh. I feel that with the Olympics, they kind of take these 2 weeks off in a weird way. Yeah. Next week they can't. It's the go home.
Yeah.
Which is shitty. They have to have the go home on the SummerSlam on the final night of the Olympics.
Just their luck sometimes.
Just their luck. Game 7 of the NBA Finals, Super Bowls, whatever. They're just their luck, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. This year they've gone head to head against an AFC the conference championship games of football, the Game 7 of the NBA Finals, and the closing ceremonies, closing day of the Olympics.
It has not been 2016. Has not been their year.
And then in 2 weeks after that, Monday Night Football returns. So I feel like this week especially, they kind of took a little bit of a week off. The tour didn't help. They need to step it up next week. I want to see some step up. SmackDown, you know, needs to see something a little bit more from Cena and AJ to really put the exclamation point on that. Figure what the hell you're doing with the Wyatts. Are they part of this match? Are they not part of this match? What the hell's going on with that? And give me one more reason to really care about Sasha and Charlotte, because right now it's been a little sloppy.
Yeah.
Other than just having a rematch, make me care about Sasha wanting to get Charlotte or vice versa.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you.
And the Roman Reigns segment, there's a reason we didn't talk about it.
Yep, we're just going to kind of go like, what happened? Nothing.
Exactly.
Nothing at all.
Alrighty, so thanks for everyone for listening. Make sure you follow us on Instagram at @1_fall_pod on IG. Make sure you follow us @1fall on Facebook. Make sure you follow Stickboy YYC on Twitter, FreshTake42 on Twitter. And until next time, cheers.
I just want KO to take Jericho's scarf so that they always have something to remember each other by.
Quiet. 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 Enjoy the day, people.